pump you up a little bit higher than
pump
me.
You up.
Go to pump you up. God, get to the chopper. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
Welcome to the My Aggie Nation podcast. On this week's episode, we'll get into a little bit of cruton with Aggie Yell's Courtney Rowland. She's going to tell us about a few of those A&M commits and targets that'll be down here in College Station for the state 7-on-7 tournament this weekend. And really, who knows what else fun we'll get into today. It's a little bit of a grab bag day on the My Aggie Nation podcast as our 2 weeks of summer have begun since the A&M baseball team ended their season. So, without further ado, I'll bring in that salmon-clad guy across the counter from me. That is President Zachary Taylor.
I like this shirt.
I like this shirt, too. It's a nice shirt.
It's a nice fishing shirt. You're really well-dressed today.
Thank you.
What's with that?
Well, I had an assignment to go to that
an assignment?
Thought
sounds so
was,
official.
Yeah. That I thought was today, and I got there, and I sat there for a while, and then realized, oh, no, it's tomorrow.
Oh, so, sad day. So you got dressed up for nothing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and this is like my one dressy outfit, so I'm probably just going to have to wear it again tomorrow.
Yeah, you got the slacks. You got black slacks with brown boots, though. Isn't that kind of a fashion faux pas?
These are navy slacks.
Oh. See?
They're very...
Man, they almost
look
black.
They're very dark navy.
They almost look black.
They're navy.
Okay. All right, I'll give you a pass this one time.
This is black.
And does the eagle not give you your own polo?
No.
That says the eagle on it?
No.
Because you're rocking a four-letter network, Dallas.com.
A former employer.
Former employer's swag, I guess.
Yeah.
A polo.
It's a nice shirt.
So the eagle needs to get on that, get you a Miami Nation polo or something.
I know. I can't get my boot off the table.
What's as soon as you threw that leg up there, I was like, man, he's not going to be able to get that down. It's still early for you, too.
Yeah, it's real early. I was actually beat most of the report. I was in the newsroom before I came over here, and everyone looked at me like literally one of the reporters was like, I thought I like overslept and didn't realize it.
Yeah,
because
what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Leave!
I had breakfast today.
Wow.
I know.
And this was all because you thought you had to get up early.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to get up.
Because you normally would not get
and,
up.
And the fun part is I'm going to have to get up early again tomorrow because I...
Well, that stinks.
Messed up today.
Did you at least get some sleep? I mean, did you go to bed pretty early last night?
No. Are you kidding me?
Oh, really?
Like 2.
Yeah, you're a big-time night owl.
Yeah.
Both of you guys.
Yeah.
You and your roommate.
Yes.
So who joined us, by the way, on the broadcast last night?
I was about to say, that was the most enjoyably wheels-off radio broadcast I think I've ever listened
so
to.
So myself, alongside Robert Cessna, broadcast play-by-play for the Bombers games. The Brazos Valley Bombers, the Texas Collegiate League team here in town. We broadcast all the home games. And when Colin Deaver, who you happen to live with,
mm-hmm.
Was there at the ball game, and of course he was shooting B-roll for KAGS, he being the sports director for KAGS, and decided to hop up in the booth with us for a little bit and do a little play-by-play. And it was interesting. He brought a lot of energy to
yes.
the game.
He also brought out a certain level of goofiness from Robert Cessna that is only enjoyable to listen to.
Pretty sure Cease is that way a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And you work for him.
Yeah.
But having done games with him for several years now, it's always an interesting trip.
Hey, I'm just proud that my life's accomplishment, Slice of Deve, made
Slice
it
of Deve.
On the airwaves.
Getting a slice of Deve.
I was thinking about, if I knew the number up here, I was thinking about just calling in.
I don't think you could really do that.
Well,
for
know,
a broadcast
you know,
on location somewhere,
the
I'm sure
has
there's
to come back
there's a,
here.
No, there's a way that we could work it. I just don't think that we would have been able to figure that out. Plus,
yeah.
I highly doubt the board op would have been able to do it.
I'll just have to come to a Bombers. Now I have the expectation of if I make it to a Bombers game.
Have you been to a Bombers game?
I have not been to a Bombers
really?
Game. Really? Yeah.
You've never been?
No, but I have this expectation that if I make it to a Bombers game, I get to be on the radio.
Well, I know people who could, you know, maybe get you a ticket to get in.
Okay.
I would say you could always go with me, but I'm going to be broadcasting every home game this year. So
well, did you hear what I just said?
That you want to be on air?
Right. I'm only going to come to the
Bombers
game if I can be on the radio.
I don't know about that. Unless we do a shameless plug for our podcast.
That's, what I yesterday, want to do.
Okay, so yesterday's broadcast was a little bit off the rails in the fact that the Bombers had initially started their game against the Texas Marshals Sunday night. And it ended up getting rained out in the third inning. So everybody goes home. They picked it up yesterday at 4:30. And the first game was nine innings long. Then there was a second game that was originally scheduled for yesterday. They played that at 7:05, and it was only a seven-inning ball game.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that everything was, it was just a wacky day. It really was. It was kind of weird, the entire broadcast of it. So in the first game, we had one Scott Clendenin join us to talk a little bit about the Bombers players who will be Aggies, Michael Hellman, Chandler Morris, and Chris Andritsis.
Chandler.
Well, there was another guy that played last night. He was a pitcher for the Marshals whose name was Chase Morris.
I heard y'all trying to figure out how to pronounce someone's name.
No, not us. Robert Cessna trying to figure out how to pronounce somebody's name.
To which I think my real favorite line of the night was, do you remember what the guy's name was? It was like Brucroy or something like that.
I don't know. I don't remember anybody named that.
Oh, well,
there was a guy
with a B.
Okay, the pitcher for the Bombers last night was Ross Bluda.
Yeah, that's it.
But it's spelled Bluda.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different ways you could go with that.
Right. Well, and so Cease was trying to. He was like really fascinated with where the country of origin that name might originate from, and Colin said it could be Cajun. To which Cease replied, yes, Cajuns can be French.
This is true.
Yes.
This is true.
That was my favorite.
The old French Creole. Well, you know, Cajuns originally came from the word Acadia, which up in, I think, eastern, like up near, what's the big island?
Is this on
up
the syllabus?
Up in Canada. No. Up in Canada. What's the big island that's on the eastern side of Canada?
Newfoundland?
No. I don't think that's it, is it?
On the east side?
I've never been to Canada, so I'm not real familiar with the geography.
Newfoundland is an island on the east side of Canada.
But they came from that island. They were originally there. They were French Canadians. And they moved down to New Orleans.
Okay.
And they lived in southern Louisiana. So Cajuns are originally French Canadian.
Well, I guess yeah.
So how crazy is that?
The raging French Canadians.
But no, there are a few kind of crazy names on the Bombers this year. Chase Calabuig is one. Ross Bluda is another. There are a few, but boy, whenever the Acadiana Cane Cutters come to town from Lafayette, Louisiana, that's when we get the real doozies.
Yeah.
And
well,
you
so did y'all
get
the whole game in? Because it started storming last night.
Yeah, no, we got the entire game in. I was worried about it because people were taking their time doing a lot of different stuff. Mainly the other team was walking a bunch of people, and then the coaches would come out and argue and stuff like that. So I was really worried, and it was kind of misting a little bit. It wasn't raining very hard.
Gotcha.
And they were able to end up getting that one in.
Well, I was over on the east side of town at Veterans Park participating in very intense slow pitch softball. And,
oh, wow.
The storm started rolling in, or the cloud started rolling in right when we arrived at the fields. We were kind of like, oh no. And it started getting kind of cold and windy and whatever. We made it two innings, and in the bottom of the second, as I believe one Zach Taylor said yesterday, the heavens opened up.
The heavens opened.
And it just started pouring. So we were up 12-2. I just got the email from Coach David Waxman, and we were up 12-0.
Who, by the way, has not asked me to join the team, and I'm pretty
sure.
We've about
discussed
that.
This. You're in the farm system.
I'm in the farm system.
Yeah, you're in like AAA.
All right, whatever.
But
guess I don't want to win, huh?
Yeah, well,
just don't want to sign me that.
You need a little more time.
Just don't want to sign me to the minor league. They want to keep me on the minor league contract. They don't want to give me the league.
Well, they want to have another Derek Holland situation where you brought up too early. So
whatever.
We were up 12-0 with 24 minutes to play, and apparently we have to finish that game up 12-0 because, you know.
So it got rained out with how long was left?
24 minutes to play. We're in the bottom of the set. We played, I think there were, what, 50, 15-minute games. So we played whatever.
I can't believe y'all were the late game, right? Y'all were the latest game?
No, 8:15. We were the second to last game.
I'm kind of surprised. Of course, that I was in Bryan, and it didn't rain nearly as badly as I thought it would.
It poured.
Okay, well, that would be a little bit
puddles
different,
were,
I guess.
The issue was puddles had started to form, so...
Okay. Nova Scotia is what I was thinking of. During 1755 to 1763, Acadia consisted of parts of present-day Canada, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and the Gaspé Peninsula, in the province of Quebec. The deportation...
Quebec.
It's Quebec, isn't it?
Quebec.
Come back. The deportation of the Acadians from these areas has become known as the Great Upheaval, or Le Grand Derangement. So, yeah, apparently the Treaty of Paris in 1763 caused all the French Canadians to come down to Louisiana.
Interesting. Well, you learned something new.
Cajun was born.
You learn something new every day on the My Aggie Nation.
We're about much more than just sports. We like to delve into history and the way that things became, the origin of things.
Well, let's get this podcast kicked off a little bit late here, and we'll move on to talk to one of the recruiting experts of the Aggie Beat.
That's
Courtney Rowland of AggieYell.com. She'll join us on the no sponsorship hotline next on the My Aggie Nation podcast.
Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis L. Brown. L stands for Larry. Is that Linus?
Yeah, we'll go with Linus.
Linus. Today. Travis Linus Brown. Joining us on the line right now, a friend of the show. Courtney Rowland of Aggie Yell joining us. Courtney, it sounds windy wherever you are. Courtney, you there?
Hey, hey. Y'all went out on me.
Uh-oh, okay. Well, you sound like you're on top of a, building somewhere, or there's a strong gust of wind in Houston.
I just stepped back inside.
Okay. All right, I was just wondering, because you don't get a lot of wind in Houston. You know, it's normally kind of muggy and...
It's definitely muggy today, too.
Yeah, it happens. No. It happens. So we brought you on, of course, to talk Cruton, and I know Travis has his little notebook here. He's just got all kinds of questions.
I got all kinds of Cruton facts here. Well, this weekend is the State 7-on-7 tournament here in College Station, and there's plenty of A&M-related players, whether they be commits or targets. And let's start with this 2018 class. You have... three guys that are in that commit class so far that will be down here playing for a 7-on-7 state title. Wide receiver Montel Parker, running back Dendrick Price, and linebacker Brian Johnson. What do you know about any of those guys, and what should A&M fans be looking for if they happen to meander their way over to Veterans Park?
Well, all three of those guys, honestly, are a little bit more of the quieter group, I would say, 2018 commit class. You know, you got the guys who are very, you know, not outspoken, but kind of uniting everyone, the Gig'em Gang 18 on Twitter, like Leon O'Neill. But these guys are more just kind of, you know, your coach's best friend type of guys. They just get the job done on the field. They're, you know, top of the line prospects, but, you know, just a little bit more quiet. But with all of these guys, you've had, Parker, who's been, you know, committed since, February, got a chance to talk with him here in Houston at the Vibe photo shoot earlier this month at the end of May. And he's solid to Texas A&M. You know, schools will probably still be recruiting him. That never stops until they sign on National Signing Day. But he is 100% a hard commit to Texas A&M, representing A&M all the way. He's one of those longer guys – I wouldn't even say lanky. He's got a good frame, a good build. It'll be fun to see him at Texas A&M once he gets in the strength and conditioning program, because he's already one of those type of guys who can just outstretch, outreach any one of his defenders right now. So once he gets in the A&M strength and conditioning program, it'll be fun to see how they develop him. Same with, you know, the linebacker, Brian Johnson, a bigger guy, but has the frame, too, to be able to put weight on, but also keep his speed, which I think is something A&M's been looking for. And then the running back position, this guy's shifty. He's shifty. He's fast. Kind of reminds me of, he's kind of the best of both worlds. He's fast and shifty, but he also can blow through a pile of defenders. Manville obviously is bringing in quite the group of guys. You know, they've got two commits already in there, and then they're after Jalen Preston. He's not a commit. He actually won't be in College Station this weekend due to the opening, but A&M is after him hard. A&M is in his top group of college programs. Leon O'Neal is after him. All the top guys that have committed to A&M are after Jalen Preston from Manville, a wide receiver. There's a good chance that he ends up at A&M. I think LSU has a good chance as well, though.
Definitely. In the 2019 class, everybody likes, getting a little information about a quarterback, and there is a quarterback in that class, and Grant Gunnell, that'll be down in College Station for Houston St. Pius, as well as wide receiver Chase Lane. What do you know about those two guys? Like I said, everyone likes to know about a future quarterback.
I had a chance to get to know Grant a little bit more at our Rivals 5-Star Challenge up in Indianapolis. That was mid-June, and he was competing against the nation's top prospects from the 2018 class, and he held his own. You know, he kind of had to get used to it for a little bit because coming from a private school and that kind of competition to coming to play against the nation's best a year older than you, you have to kind of get your feet wet a little bit, and it took a little bit of time. But then when it came to the 7-on-7 competition at our Rivals 5-Star Challenge, the guy has an arm. He is strong. He is tall. He has a great frame. He has a great arm, a true pocket passer, I would say. And he's trained under, an A&M quarterback, Gerard Johnson. Gerard said this guy is a competitor. Perfect for what Nolan Mazzoni is looking for in his program. A good kid off the field, on the field, a leader and a competitor. Everything, the mindset you want in a quarterback.
Definitely. Two or three players too that have A&M offers that should be down here. You mentioned Jalen Preston, one of them. But you said he'll be at the opening. And then you have I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong. Cornerback Verone McKinley out of Hebron, and Gilbert Inimi. Ibnimi. I totally butchered that.
You tried.
Yeah. Tell me, A, how to pronounce those names, and B, a little bit about their athleticism.
I'm still trying to learn Gilbert's last name, but Gilbert, as far as the recruiting side goes, he does have an A&M offer. He has an OU offer. I would say at this point, even though he's not committed anywhere, I would say A&M has a very, very, almost 100% chance to land Gilbert. And then as far as Verone McKinley, Verone is a, earlier, I guess he was at our Rivals 5-Star Challenge as well. He is a competitor. A&M is after him. Leon O'Neal was all over him at our Rivals 5-Star Challenge. Leon O'Neal was also all over Terrace Marshall, 5-star wide receiver out of Shreveport and Bossier City. And they do their own 7-on-7 tournament, obviously. And but Verone McKinley, he's a good kid. He's one that I know a lot of people would like to see at A&M. He's kind of, it's hard to say on him where he ends up, but he will be fun to watch on 7-on-7. He was fun to watch at our 7-on-7 in Indianapolis. He is an exciting player and a playmaker on the field, so he'll be fun to watch at 7-on-7 for sure.
Corey, you talk about Leon O'Neal and way that he's kind of helping recruit guys. How big is that, though, to have guys who are already signed on to A&M help the coaching staff recruit some of the big-time talent?
Having a chance to talk with him when I was in Indianapolis, the guy has a personality, and he is loud. He is, he's strong. He's confident in what he says about A&M. He's not loud, I would say, in a, I don't know how to compare him.
Boastful
I remember
way?
Our 5-star challenge, Jamal Adams,
okay.
For example. He was loud. He was, he was in wide receiver spaces. Leon O'Neal is loud. He gets people pumped up. But I wouldn't say he's as Jamal Adams had a way to get under people's, underneath their skin a little bit. Leon right now at this point, as far as the A&M recruiting goes, obviously he's loud. He's excited about A&M. He pumps A&M up. He's in the ear of everyone about A&M, but not to a point too where it's, annoying. I was talking with Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver A&M's after out of Shreveport, a 5-star. Terrace was saying, it was fun to talk with Leon at, the barbecue and stuff like that they had back in June or earlier this June, because they weren't just talking about football and recruiting. You know, they were just having fun. They played like a wiffle ball or derby tournament or something like that out on the trial field, and just were having fun. So it seems like Leon's kind of in the best of both worlds, the perfect recruiter for A&M, but also can relate to these guys as far as the pressure when it comes to recruiting, the nonstop talk of recruiting, and just be a buddy to them and just be a friend to them. So he is huge. He is huge when it comes to Texas A&M recruiting and a big help for these coaches.
So where does recruiting go now? What kind of season are we in? And who are some of the big targets that A&M fans should be keeping an eye on right now for as things start to maybe heat up a little bit more in the fall?
You know, I just had a chance yesterday to talk with one of their top defensive end prospects, Joseph Osai, out of Oak Ridge. He is supposed to name his top 10 programs this week. And a lot of kids now they're waiting to release their top 10 until they have like a picture, some sort of video to release with it. Because he said, I'm just waiting on the final editing and then I can release my top 10. So, you know, something big is always happening with the release of your top 10, your final commitment. Something always goes with it nowadays. So Joseph Osai will be announcing his top 10 this week, and he said Texas A&M is in it. He's been a top target, like I said, for the Aggies for a while, and then he wants to narrow it down to his final five before the start of the school year. His family is very huge on education, so when it comes to, you know, once the season starts and the school year starts, they'll be wanting him to focus on his school, Oak Ridge, and his education. His little brother actually is getting back in. His little brother, Philip Osai, is also a linebacker, getting back into the whole recruiting swing because he took off football as a 2019 kid, took off a year from football in 2016 because his grades weren't up to par, according to his parents. His grades have to be an A for him to play football. That's where the Osais come from as far as education. That just gives you a point of reference there.
Moving down. Sorry, Courtney. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. And then, obviously, Mamble wide receiver Jalen Preston, five-star wide receiver out of Bossier City, Terrace Marshall, Verone McKinley. Those are just a couple names that A&M is after hardcore right now. And I would expect these guys to, you know, probably go well into the season before they make a final commitment.
You're talking about a lot of guys who are juniors and going to become upperclassmen in high school at the high school level. Is there one position you feel like A&M is in desperate need, at least in this class, of the 2019 class and maybe even the 2018 class?
They're 2018, they're working on their wide receivers, you know, filling that depth, filling that core. But they're always looking, obviously, especially right now in 2018, there was a whole, you know, defensively, especially at defensive end, and wanting to fill that gap, which they've worked on doing, and they've done a good job doing. I think that they will continue to always put an emphasis and a focus on their defensive prospects, because it seems like they can recruit a little bit easier when it comes to the wide receiver position, the running back position. Clarence McKinney has always had, you know, a stable group of running backs, a very good group of running backs. They can recruit offensively. It's just getting those top prospects in, having that two deep, that three deep like Alabama has all the time, you know, having that depth defensively. So they will always be looking at defensive end, linebacker, safety. Those are always positions that they're going hard after.
I have the most pressing, important recruiting-related question here that we'll wrap up this segment with. It has nothing to do with recruiting at all, but it's something that's very near and dear to the hearts of Zach and I and the My Aggie Nation podcast. What TV show should we be watching right now?
Oh, yeah.
What TV show should we be watching?
I feel like Courtney doesn't have enough time to watch TV. She's so busy doing everything else.
What are you watching right now? What's in your Hulu queue?
Well, you know.
If you say Gossip Girl, Courtney, this interview is over.
No, I don't do gossip. I'm not very much of a TV show person. I just try and watch, I don't know, whatever sporting events are on. I just like to be able to go watch a Astros game or a football game. Right now, all we really have are Major League Baseball and, you know, just close out of the World Series until, what, 70-something, maybe 60-something days now until college football.
You know she's, you know, checking the outdoor.
My whole life isn't just sports. I like, I don't know, I like Naked and Afraid.
Interesting.
Very.
That's not one we've brought up on the podcast.
That's actually my dad's favorite show, believe it or not.
Interesting.
You know, I would totally do that, the whole naked part. The, yeah. Being out in the wild would be cool, but that whole part is just, meh, you know.
I figured you were going to be watching the Outdoor Channel the entire time, just watching hunting shows.
I was just in Louisiana, and everyone there watches either the Weather Channel, Fox News, ESPN, or the Outdoor Channel. So they were
talking about the Outdoor Channel
and when I'm going to do my next outdoor show.
If you're friends with Courtney on social media, you'll know that that was a dumb question about the TV, because she's on like the professional wedding circuit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
The professional wedding circuit and shooting hogs on the dress and heels circuit.
Yes, yes.
She's got those two down.
I just finished filming when that shooting the hog happened.
Oh.
Unloading my car and walked into the backyard at my parents' place, and there it was.
There you go.
Well, and now he's dead.
And it was very impressive. Well, thank you for being the she's kind of the go-to recruiting expert for the My Aggie Nation podcast. She is Courtney Rowland of AggieYell.com. Naturally, you have to follow her on Twitter at Courtney Rivals and follow all of the greatness of recruiting, of recruiting workout videos, and of shooting hogs in heels. It's everything you could ever want in a Twitter account. So, Courtney, thank you so much for joining us today to break down that 7-on-7 recruiting. And we'll be back with a little more of something on the My Aggie Nation podcast, and that's next. To the My Aggie Nation podcast. This is the scatter shooting edition of the My Aggie Nation podcast, but we also are talking a little bit of State 7-on-7 tournament that's down here in College Station, Texas.
Now, we know Courtney is going to be out there. Are you going to be out there?
I'm going to be out there.
Are you really?
I'm going to be roasting and toasting all
weekend.
You're
going to burn.
I'm going to burn so
much. You're
going to
burn.
Hey, if you're going to be, it's over at Veterans Park on the other side. You know what? I'm gonna be the color of your shirt.
You got to burn.
I'm gonna be a nice salmon color.
I have never seen someone who has come back from that in the middle of the day that was like, man, that was an awesome time.
Yeah.
Everyone has been like, I'm dying out there.
Yeah, and especially since they play it on turf fields.
Now, didn't they
what's the weather look like for the weekend?
Didn't they end up getting some tents and stuff? I thought they kind of spruced it up a little bit out there where you got some more shade.
Yeah, no, they have some tents. Some of the like vendors and sponsors have like little cool-off tents and stuff you can kind of bob and weave your way through the fields sitting in those, and
you could bring an umbrella, like a beach umbrella or something.
It's actually Thursday, the high is 90, Friday 89, both days raining, and Saturday 93. I will take 93 over 101, I think was what it was last year.
Yeah, but if the sun's still out, then it don't matter. You're still going to get burned.
Yeah.
You can even get pretty burned on a cloudy day. The worst I've ever gotten sunburned, we took spring break. We went to Gulf Shores, which is the official vacation spot of the SEC. And this was before A&M was in the SEC. And I got the first day that we were there, I was like, I don't need any sunscreen. It's kind of overcast outside. I got so burned that night. I'm sitting in my bed shivering because my body was trying to get reacclimated.
Well, you probably had a fever.
It seemed like that. It really did. And like my friends are going out, and I'm like, guys, I can't go out. So I'm sitting there in the bed, and of course it's all sandy, and I got sand scraping along my back after I just got ridiculously sunburned. And later on that week, I started getting blisters.
Yeah,
that would spontaneously pop on my back. It was disgusting. And I never want to go through that.
It's in a related note. There was a Rivals camp when I was working for Rivals back in the day at DeSoto High School. And they have one of those turf fields. And I decided that I just didn't realize how long we were going to be out there. So I just didn't put any sunscreen on. But I also decided to do something that you've seen me do a time or two. I rolled up the sleeves of my polo to, you know, try to eliminate some of the farmer's tan.
Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, and I had some of the most massive blisters on my arm after that. That was pretty terrible.
You're big about sun's out, guns out. I've seen you multiple times roll up those sleeves.
I am so pasty white, I need it. But, yeah, if you're going to go out to State 7-on-7, you must wear the sunscreen. Bring a lot of water.
Puts the lotion on your skin.
Just bring a lot of water.
Unless you'll get the hose again.
Yeah, it's it's gonna it's a whole thing. And just plan ahead traffic wise because there's gonna be a lot of people in town this weekend. It'll be a little bit like schools back in session for a weekend go. But it's worth it to go out there to catch a game or two. You know, bring a lawn chair. There's not really anywhere to sit. If you have a tent, you might want to bring that too. Perhaps a small portable shelter of some sort. Because it's usually
why don't you just move the whole family out there?
Yeah, just do it. They have a pavilion, too.
Make a lean-to.
They have a pavilion, too. The kids are all real hyped up, and it's a pretty good time. I will probably be live-streaming
some
of it, too.
Okay.
So if you
that's
don't want to bear
fancy.
The heat, I might. You should come out and do a live-stream play-by-play with me.
How about no?
Come on.
I have to look, too. What am I doing this weekend? I don't have Bombers on Saturday or Sunday.
Look at you with a week off.
Wow, I do have the entire weekend off. What am I going to do with myself?
Okay, listen, I'm gonna call an audible because
uh-oh.
We had a couple things we're gonna talk.
We're turning
about
90 degrees,
and I have to discuss a wonderful thing that happened to me this past weekend.
Okay,
and that was the fact that I went into Houston with some friends early Sunday morning for a church activity. And we were in Houston, and when you're in Houston on a Sunday midday, you go find some brunch.
Oh, yeah. Houston's big on the brunch.
And, I mean, not as quite as big as Dallas. Brunching is a way of life in Dallas. But we happened upon the Black Walnut Cafe,
mm-hmm.
and that was just a delightful brunch.
Delightful brunch.
And it makes me sad because we come back up here to College Station, and other than Blackwater Draw over there in Northgate, you can't really get a good brunch in.
Well, how many
in
places
College
have
Station.
You tried? Have you tried Ozona's? Ozona's has a decent brunch. They actually have a Bloody Mary bar.
Okay, more of a mimosa guy.
Okay, so if you haven't tried, they've got mimosas
too. I tried
too, by
Cafe
the
Excel. Was not impressed.
Okay, you know I've never eaten at Cafe Excel.
Really,
I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I've just never gotten a chance to, and I don't have a lot of money. Yeah. So I would try there. You could also try the Corner. Actually, has a pretty good brunch.
Interesting.
I've enjoyed a brunch or two there. There's got to be
some
other places too.
I got some chicken and waffles, and they were just fantastic.
Well, I imagine we brunched. In Houston that one time.
We did brunch.
Whenever A&M was down
there.
That was
a weird brunch. We've talked about
that.
Yeah,
that was a strange.
Here.
It was like a club.
It was like
brunch.
It was like a 1970s hotel bar lounge.
With a DJ.
With a DJ playing 80s music.
In the middle of the morning.
Yeah, it was weird. But yeah, no, brunch is something that's near and dear to my heart. And I just feel like it's kind of vacated my life since I've moved down here to the BCS. Now,
I'll take you for brunch sometime.
I've heard. Okay. Well, first off, for all the brunch situation in BCS is very top heavy because the brunch at Blackwater Draw is fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you had the French toast?
No.
They have
I don't think
toast.
I've ever had brunch at Blackwater
they
Draw.
They have French toast that has Cinnamon Toast Crunch baked into the bread.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Okay.
Oh,
I'm definitely going to have to
delicious.
Try that out. No, I did not know that.
It is delicious. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
I love their food there.
It's probably all the calories on my daily assortment, allotment of calories.
I think West End Elixir, they used to do brunch. I don't know if they do any longer.
Okay.
But I know West End used to do some brunch.
Okay.
And I'm a real big fan of their food. They've got a wood grilled oven, I guess, fire oven.
Something
they make
like that.
Pizzas, wood fire pizzas, pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, listen, I brunched so hard this weekend and it was fantastic.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got your fill.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Now we've been kind of bouncing around. We're in the depths of summer right now where there's mm-hmm. just really not a lot going on Aggie sports wise. So that's why if you're listening to the podcast, usually we are all Aggie sports all the time here on my Aggie Nation podcast. But this week, we're kind of scattershooting a little bit because it's really not a whole lot going on. But what is coming up next week is the 4th of July. And we're kind of sitting over here talking about 4th of July activities, what we want to do on the 4th of July. Now, most of my 4th of Julys have been spent going to Rangers baseball games. It's kind of a little bit of a family tradition. But I don't think they don't play on the 4th this year, I don't believe.
They do. They're hosting the Red Sox.
Okay.
Because last year they were on the road and I was in Boston.
Oh, there you
watching.
Go.
I was trying to figure what did I do last year because I wasn't at the lake. Oh, yeah. I was at Fenway Park watching the Rangers
get
the crap kicked out.
So I guess that's not something we're doing this year. That was kind of a little family thing. But I'll probably be here in BCS. It'll be my first 4th of July in BCS because last year I was up in town just because I had the day off. Up in Dallas because I had the day off. But
it's weird this year because of it being on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And actually here at the office, we have what we call office vacations, which the office workers, the front desk people, the sales folks get off on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're off on Monday. So they have basically a 4-day weekend.
Interesting.
Whereas I have to come to work on Monday and then I have to be back up here early Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. So I get the 4th off, but very limited time.
What
to
you've
around.
Mentioned a couple times is something that I know is a very, very popular 4th of July activity. Very popular, just summertime activity. That's the lake.
The lake.
Going to do lake activities, whether that be swimming or boating or skiing or
tubing.
Tubing. Yeah, that's another thing. I had the hot sports take that it's just kind of overrated. I'm not into the lake.
And that to me completely blows my mind.
I have
no idea how someone could hate the water.
I don't hate the water. I'm skeptical of the water.
You mentioned how pasty white you are and how easily you get burned. So I can understand how that happens, but well, okay, so I do have a buddy that still lives on the lake up near Tyler. There's Lake Palestine and Lake Tyler. Lake Tyler's kind of on the eastern side of town. Lake Palestine's more on my side of town. And he has a house that's right on the lake, and they have a barge. They have a jet ski. Man, if I lived out there, I would be out there all the daggum time. I'd be fishing. I'd be driving it around. Nothing like hanging out in a barge in the middle of the lake after you've enjoyed a few refreshments throughout the day, gotten burned a little bit. Have some water clog in your ears and up your nose to watch some fireworks overhead to realize just how free you are.
Yeah, see, I don't really get the draw. I don't really get the draw.
Are you afraid of something going to grab you? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
You're
okay.
Afraid of something under the water?
I did lake-type activities last summer with some people, and I did enjoy a little bit of paddleboarding. Paddleboarding was kind of fun.
Okay.
But I was the first time ever paddleboarding, and you might remember this. I might have shown you. I was standing on the paddleboard and started to kind of lose control because a boat drove too close to me and kind of knocked me over.
Knocked you over.
So I decided instead of falling off, I would just kind of do a baseball catcher technique and just go down on my knees. And in that process, my second toe on my right foot stayed forward while the rest of my toe went backwards.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure it broke my toe.
That sucks.
So I have bad memories of that too, but I just...
But how's that the lake's fault?
It is.
Sounds like it's yours.
No, it's the lake's fault. Sell the lake to me. Sell lake because if you're on a boat, I get that. If you have some good company, that's nice, but it's usually hot and you're getting sunburned and not for much gain there.
Well, obviously, a lake is much bigger than a pool, so if people pee in it, you don't have to worry about necessarily being all around that.
Yeah, why not just go to a pool?
Because people pee in it, one. Two, it's chock full of chlorine and all kinds of other chemicals and things that are not good for your body, and it's not good for digesting it.
Well, so is, like, bacteria and things that are in the lake.
Well, don't drink the water. I'm just saying it's fresh, it's clear, it's
what
natural.
What lakes have you been to lately that are clear?
Well,
in Texas.
Not many, but it's clean. It's cleaner water.
Now,
I think it's cleaner water in the lake than it is in the pool.
I totally get the draw and am really big on floating the river. Because there's an adventure there.
I told you that we can float the Brazos and you boo-booed on that idea.
It's too close to Waco.
all the trash from Waco is floating down here. Plus, I wouldn't trust anything in that way. You talk about, okay, now I will admit the Brazos is pretty nasty.
It's real gross.
Not nearly as nasty as the Natchez
but like,
or the Trinity.
Okay, and yes, you outed me as the city slicker, which I very much am. But like, you can actually go up to Fort Worth and float the Trinity And they have like a concert venue that's built onto it's Panther Island Pavilion, and you can kind of float over and kind of anchor yourself around. And there's a concert venue that you can sit there and listen to music while you're that sounds outstanding to me.
I'm pretty sure they have some places like that down in New Braunfels too.
Yeah, the Whitewater.
Yeah, a lot of folks do. Yeah. I think William Clark Green's doing something that's down there on the 4th of July. But again.
I like the river. I if you float like the canal, it's a nice, clear, spring-fed river, very, very pretty.
Yeah, no, it is.
You know what's in the water.
But I have to come up with some kind of local location.
Yeah.
Something to do. Lake Bryan, which is kind of a piddly-looking lake, but it's a lake nonetheless. And they got the ice house out there, which is pretty nice. And you can have a campground. You also have Lake Somerville. There's the place that I was showing you in Huntsville that is the Blue Lagoon, which looks amazing. The only problem is it's normally really packed. I'm not quite sure. I think it's like $20 a head to get in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not a real big fan of paying.
I would go to Barton Springs in Austin. That's kind of a...
But that's still a pretty good ways. I'm looking about something within an hour, at least.
I get your time dilemma. I'm just kind of more talking about, just general lake activity.
Oh. I want something with water. If we have to go to a pool,
it's probably going to be absolutely jam packed. I want to go do the Texas Lazy River in Houston at that hotel in Houston.
Oh, I've seen that. Anybody just go up there and do it?
I don't know. I would assume so.
Oh, well, too bad we can't go to Frisco. We could go to Frisco, go to a Rough Riders game and ride the Lazy River there.
Yeah.
The Choctaw Lazy River.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I imagine probably be a pool or something close.
Yeah.
Even though I no longer live in an apartment complex, you, however.
We have a pool.
Live in an apartment complex. So
maybe we'll do pool day at the old crib.
Is it usually pretty packed?
I've barely ever seen anybody in there. Since ours is a condominium complex, there's a lot of, seems like there's a lot
older folks,
more grad students, more actually kind of young families. There's a couple. There's actually a young family that lives below us, and then a ton of people who own condos down there that they come down for football season, and basically they sit unoccupied during the year.
I'm all for finding a nice place where there's not a whole lot of folks, but some folks,
You want to go over to Z Islander
for the scenery. Z Islander does have a really nice pool,
and it's probably just nuts.
From what I've heard. It's in the summer.
From what I've heard.
Whenever I went there, it normally wasn't that bad.
Okay.
It might be. But, there's a few places around town that we can probably sneak in. It's been a while since I've done that. I haven't had a pool day in a long while, and I'm overdue.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do pool day at the old press box crib.
Pool day!
Pool day. Anyway, well, whatever y'all are doing for the 4th of July, I hope you have a wonderful time celebrating freedom in America. Also a safe time.
Yes.
Also
be
a safe time. Be very safe. We want to keep you as a listener. So be safe on the 4th of July. We will be doing that as well. And we'll be back next week, maybe with a little bit more direction. But that's okay. We like just scatter shooting on here. It's the summer. We can do whatever we want. Maybe we'll make Zach make a farmersonly.com profile and see what comes of that in a week.
Actually brought that up. Okay.
Maybe we'll do that. So in the meantime, have a fantastic week. Maybe go check out some of that 7-on-7 action if you're in town. And we'll be back. We'll break down some of the conversations that I had with some of those commits and see where they're at in their time leading up coming to Aggieland. Anyway, have a lovely weekend. Have a great 4th of July. He's Zach Taylor. I'm Travis Brown. This is the My Aggie Nation podcast, and we'll see you next week.